Bernard's asked me to meet the Savage next Wednesday.
Fanny, I'm so glad. And now you must admit that you were wrong about Bernard. Don't you think he's really rather sweet?
Yes. And I must say, I was quite agreeably surprised. Do you know, he told me he had 6 girls last week.
I believe it. The assistant predestinator himself cadged an invitation to one of Bernard's parties. It's the only way to see the Savage. And Bernard's John's accredited guardian. No more talk of alcohol in Mr. Marx's blood surrogate these days.
Oh, Lenina. I just wish I'd been there when the Savage went down on his knees before the director, calling him father. Oh, it's almost too good to be true.
The poor man hasn't set foot in the centre since.
And what about his mother?
Fanny, that's past a joke. That's an obscenity.
Of course, she isn't a real Savage. She's been hatched out of a bottle and conditioned like everybody else, so she can't have any really quaint ideas.
She's horrible. Fat and old and bad teeth. Oh, you simply can't look at her without feeling positively sick. I've no desire to see her ever again.
And from what I hear, she has no desire to see us.
It's best if we just leave her like that for the time being, Mr. Savage. The television on and the patchouli tap just dripping. It's quite expensive. And make sure her soma tablets are within reach.
But she's taking 20 grams a day already.
That's right. That'll finish her off in a month or two. One day the respiratory centre will be paralysed. No more breathing. Finished! And a good thing, too. If we could rejuvenate, of course, it would be different, but we can't. Not her.
But aren't you shortening her life by giving her so much?
Look, soma may make you lose a few years in time, but think of the enormous, immeasurable durations it can give you out of time. Every soma holiday is a bit of what our ancestors used to call eternity.
All the same, I don't believe it's right.
Well, if you prefer to have her screaming mad all the time.
And in this factory, each process, as you can see, is carried out by a single Bokunovsky group.
Twins? Identical twins?
Well, yes, as far as possible. We have 83 deltas from the same Bokunovsky group working in cold pressing, for example. And in the foundry, 107, I think, Epsilon Senegalese, all identical, all heat-conditioned.
And those Delta females over there with the sandy hair?
33 of them, yes, all within 20 millimetres of an identical height, a metre 69. And we've 2 sets of Gamma Plus dwarves in the assembly room, 2 Bokunovsky groups, 47 in each. The work tables are rather low and the conveyor passes between them. It's so much more efficient.
Oh, brave new world.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, brave new world that has such people in it.
Yes, I can assure you we hardly ever have any trouble with our workers. We always
Excuse me. I think I'm going to be sick.
John?
John!
And this is the statue of R. Ford. Rather ancient, I'm afraid.
Chrome steel. Oh, and that's Lupton's Tower, of course.
Yes, 52 stories. And the school community singery just beyond to the right.
Do you have many twins here? What is it? Bokunovsky?
Oh, no. Eton is reserved exclusively for upper-caste boys and girls. 1 egg, 1 adult. It makes education more difficult, of course. But as they'll be called upon to take responsibilities, it can't be helped. I think we're just in time for a history class. Alpha double plus.
Was actually prohibited.
Settle down, please.
Parliament, as it was known.
They're watching a programme by our Ford ship. The controller, Master Vermont.
Speeches about liberty of the subject. Liberty to be inefficient and miserable. Freedom to be
Miss
a round peg.
Yes, Mr. Marx.
I was thinking, if you're free any Monday, Wednesday or Friday evening, I'm the Savage's guardian, you see.
Because of something
he's curious,
democracy.
You know, quaint. And if you'd like to...
Why, thank you, Mr. Marx. I'd be delighted to come.
The 9 Years' War began in AF 141. Phosgene, chloropicrin, diphenylcyanarsine in the Kurfürstendamm and the 8th arrondissement. The explosion of the anthrax bombs was hardly louder than the popping of a paper bag. The 9 Years' War, the great economic collapse. There was a choice between world control and destruction. Between stability and chaos.
Yes, Klaus?
Community, identity, stability.
In the end, the controllers realized that force was no good. The slower but infinitely surer methods of ectogenesis, neo-Pavlovian conditioning, and hypnopedia were applied, accompanied by a campaign against the past. By the closing of museums, the blowing up of historical monuments, by the suppression of all books published before AF-150, straight from the mouth of R. Ford himself.
Class?
History
is bunk!
The introduction of R. Ford's first T model was chosen as the opening date of the new era, and the ethics and philosophy of underconsumption.
So you will come, won't you? I'm giving a party on Monday.
Yes, I look forward to it.
Everyone will be there. The Arch-Community Songster of Canterbury, the Ford Chief Justice, and the Savage, of course. I'd love to have you.
Yes, Mr. Marks, but not here.
And 6 years later, Soma was being produced commercially. The perfect drug. All the advantages of Christianity and alcohol, with none of their defects.
Class, 1 cubic centimeter...
cures 10 gloomy sentiments.
With Soma,
thank you, Class.
You can take
carry
a holiday
on
from reality.
Now, Mr. Marks, Mr. Savage, shall we visit the school library?
And come back without so much as a headache or a mythology.
Do they read Shakespeare in this school?
I'm sorry?
Do they read Shakespeare?
No, certainly not. Our library contains only books of reference. If our young people need distraction, they can get it at the Feelies. We don't encourage them to indulge in any sort of solitary amusement. Ah, some of our younger children, Mr. Savage, just returning from the Slough Crematorium. Death conditioning begins at 18 months, and every tot spends 2 mornings a week at a hospital for the dying. All the best toys are kept there, and they get chocolate cream cakes on death days.
Death days?
Yes, they learn to take dying as a matter of course.
Like any other physiological process, eh, Miss Keat?
Exactly, Mr. Marks.
Me till you drag me, honey. Kiss me till I'm in a coma. Hug me, honey, snuggly bunny. Love's as good as Soma.
Well, you seem very pleased with yourself.
I am pleased, Fanny. Bernard rang up half an hour ago and asked me if I'd take the Savage to the Feelies this evening.
Which one? The Alhambra? The assistant predestinator says it's absolutely marvellous. A gigantic Negro ravishes a lovely young Beta Plus blonde, keeps her for 3 weeks all to himself in a helicopter. It's wildly antisocial. And you're taking the Savage. You are a lucky girl, Lenina.
I know. I'm getting invitations to absolutely everywhere. It's wonderful, of course. Yet, in a way, I feel as though I were getting something on false pretenses.
What do you mean?
Well, the first thing they all want to know is what it's like to make love to a savage. And I have to say, I don't know.
Lenina!
Honestly, it's true. I wish it weren't. Oh. He's terribly good-looking, don't you think so?
But doesn't he like you?
Sometimes I think he does, and sometimes I think he doesn't. He always does his best to avoid me, goes out of the room when I come in, won't touch me, won't even look at me. But sometimes, if I turn round suddenly, I catch him staring. And then, well, you know how men look when they like you.
Yes, I know.
I can't make it out, Fanny. It's all rather upsetting. Because, you see, I like him.
Well, you'll have a real chance at the Feelies tonight.
Yes.
Hug me, honey, snuggly bunny. Love's as good as Soma. Hug me till you drug me, honey. Kiss me till I'm in a coma. Hug me, honey, snuggly bunny. Love's as good as Soma.
Oh.
with those metal knobs on the arms of your chair. Otherwise, you won't get any of the feely effects. Go on.
All right. Lenina! Lenina, I don't think you ought to see things like this.
Things like what, John?
Like this. This horrible film.
Horrible? I think it's lovely.
It's base. It's ignoble.
Shh, John, please. Honestly, I don't know what you mean. Why do you want to spoil things? There's no need to be shy. I mean, you're terribly good-looking, and any other man would have...
Lenina! I can't stand watch this!
John, where are you going? Come back!
Will you please be quiet?
Look, everybody's here. They're all waiting for you. Come out and have some soma.
No, I will not take that stuff. Go away.
But I've asked them on purpose to meet you, John. You know perfectly well.
Then you ought to have asked me first.
John! John, you've always come before.
That is precisely why I don't want to come again.
Oh, John, just to please me. Well, why wouldn't you come to please me?
No.
Do you seriously mean it? John!
Yes!
But the Arch Community Songster of Canterbury's here tonight. What am I going to do?
Go to hell!
Frankly, I resent having been tricked. Yes, tricked by this insignificant fellow with his heretical opinions. Play such a joke on me, on me.
Oh yes, Arch Songster, it really is too bad. It may interest you to know that our ex-director was on the point of transferring him to Iceland.
Not far enough, I'd say.
False pretenses, I'd call it. It's a bit thick. When I think that I might actually have been had by a wretched little man who's had alcohol poured in his bottle by mistake.
Yes, it's absolutely true about the alcohol. Someone I know knew someone who was working in the embryo store at the time. She said to my friend, and my friend said,
a creature with a gamma minus physique. It's an outrage.
Arch Songster, I'm terribly sorry. I'm really frightfully... Please, please, sit down. I have another carotene sandwich. Oh, this is awful. He'll be here any moment, I promise. He's just a little... Oh, Ford.
Mr. Marks, please. I think perhaps the time has come for me to leave.
Oh, must you really, Arch Songster? It's very early still. I'd hope you'd... I'd so much hope that...
Mr. Marks, let me give you a word of advice before it's too late. A word of good advice. Mend your ways, my young friend. Mend your ways. Now, Miss Keat.
Arch Songster.
May I escort you home?
Yes, please. Well, that's the last time I come here.
Yes, I always knew that Marks was a queer fish.
Alcohol in the blood surrogate, what do you expect?
You know, Bernard, you're more like you were at Malpais. Remember, when we first talked together, outside the little house, when you told me how terribly alone you were. You're like you were then.
Because I'm unhappy again, that's why.
Well, I'd rather be unhappy than have the sort of false, lying happiness you've been having here.
Well, I like that. When it's you who are the cause of it all, refusing to come down to my party and turning them all against me.
And what sort of friends are there that can turn into enemies on so slight a provocation?
Yes. You're right. I think I'll go and see Helmholtz tomorrow. He's probably the only friend I have left.
May I come with you?
I'm in a bit of trouble, Bernard.
You too?
It was over some rhymes. Yeah, I was given my usual course of advanced emotional engineering for third-year students. On the use of rhymes in moral propaganda and advertisement, to be precise. Well, this time I thought I'd give them a rhyme I'd just written myself. Pure madness, of course, but I couldn't resist it. What an outcry there was. The principal had me up and threatened to hand me the immediate sack. I'm a marked man, Bernard.
Tell me, what were your rhymes? I'm most interested.
Are you really?
Yes.
Oh. Shut lips, sleeping faces, every stopped machine, the dumb and littered places where crowds have been. It was about being alone, I suppose.
Oh, Ford.
Well, what's wrong with being alone?
It's flatly against all their sleep teaching, that's what. I mean, they'll have had at least 250,000 warnings against solitude.
Yes. But I just thought I'd like to see what the effect would be.
Well, you've seen now.
Anyway, I feel as though I was just beginning to have something to write about, as though I were beginning to be able to use that power I've got inside me, that latent extra power. Something seems to be coming to me. Do you understand?
I do. Have you read Shakespeare?
Me? No.
Romeo and Juliet. Here.
Hello, Lonina. Like to come to Ophelia this evening?
Oh, no, thank you, Henry.
Going out with someone else?
No.
You're not feeling ill, are you?
No.
You know, you ought to go and see the doctor. Perhaps you need a pregnancy substitute. Or else an extra strong VPS treatment. I mean, sometimes the standard passion surrogate isn't quite enough.
Oh, for Ford's sake, shut up, shut up!
Lenina, it's absurd to let yourself get into a state like this. Simply absurd. And what about a man? One man?
But Fanny, he's the one I want.
As though there weren't millions of other men in the world.
But I don't want them.
How can you know till you've tried?
I have tried.
How many? One? Two?
No, dozens. But it wasn't any good.
Lenina, you must persevere. Nothing can be achieved without perseverance.
But meanwhile...
Don't think of him.
I can't help it.
Take more soma, then.
Oh, Fanny, I do.
Well, go on.
But in the intervals, I still like him. I shall always like him.
Well, if that's the case, why don't you just go and take him, whether he wants it or no?
But if you knew how terribly strange he was...
All the more reason for taking a firm line.
It's all very well to say that.
So, Nina, don't stand any nonsense. Act. Yes, act at once. Do it now.
I'd be scared.
Well, you've only got to take half a gram of soma first. Anyway, I'm going to have my shower.
Oh, yes. That scene in Capulet's Orchard, the lover's first meeting. How did it go? But soft, what light through yonder window breaks. It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. The poetry is delightful, but I must say, Bernard, the sentiments do make me smile.
Getting into such a state about having a girl. It is ridiculous.
Still, taken detail by detail, what a superb piece of emotional engineering. That Shakespeare fellow makes my stuff look absolutely silly.
What's silly is the idea of the mother and father forcing their daughter to have someone she didn't want. And the girl not saying she was having someone else who she preferred. It's comical.
Read that speech again, John, where her father is bullying Juliet to marry... Is it Paris, is it?
Yes. Day, night, hour, tide, time, work, play. Alone in company. Still my care hath been to have her matched. And having now provided a gentleman of noble parentage...
Fathers and mothers, you can't expect me to keep a straight face about fathers and mothers. And who's going to get excited about a boy having a girl or not having
her? No, I'm sorry. No, it won't do. No, we need some kind of madness and violence. But what? What?
Well, I don't know. Why ask me?
Where can one find it?
What if her eyes were there, they in her head? The brightness of her cheek would shame those...
John.
Lenina.
You don't seem very glad to see me.
Not glad. If only you knew. Admired Lenina. Indeed, the top of admiration, worth what's dearest in the world.
John.
Oh, you so perfect and so peerless are created of every creature's best.
Oh, John.
That's why I want to do something first. I mean, to show you I'm worthy of you. Not that I could ever really be that, but at least to show you I'm not absolutely unworthy. I want to do something, Lenina.
But why should you think it necessary?
I mean, in Malpais, you had to bring her the skin of a mountain lion or else a wolf when you wanted to marry someone.
Look, there aren't any lions in England.
I'll do anything. Anything you tell me. There be some sports are painful, you know. but their labour delight in them sets off. That's what I feel. I mean,
I'd sweep the floor if you wanted.
But we've got vacuum cleaners. It isn't necessary.
No, of course it isn't necessary, but some kinds of baseness are nobly undergone. I'd like to undergo something nobly, don't you see?
But if there are vacuum cleaners but, and...
Yes,
that's... Cylon semi-morons to work them, well, really, why?
Why? But for you. For you. Just to show that I... Just to show how much... How much I love you, Lenina.
Oh, John. Do you mean it?
Yes. But I hadn't meant to say so. Not until... Listen. Lenina. In Malpais, people get married.
What are you talking about, John?
For always. They make a promise to live together for always.
What a horrible idea.
Lenina, it's like that in Shakespeare, too. If thou dost break her virgin knot before all sanctimonious ceremonies, may with full and holy right...
For God's sake, John, talk sense. I can't understand a word you say. First it's vacuum cleaners, then it's knots. You're driving me crazy. Oh, answer me this question. Do you really like me or don't you?
Lenina, I love you more than anything in the world.
Why on earth didn't you say so? Instead of drivelling on about knots and vacuum cleaners and lions and making me miserable for weeks and weeks. If I didn't like you so much, I'd be furious with you. Oh, John. Oh, John, I want you so much. And if you want me to, why won't you...
The murkiest den, the most opportune place, the strongest suggestion our worser genius can, shall never melt mine honour into lust. Never, never.
John. Oh, please.
Lenina. Lenina, what are you doing? Oh, for those milk paps that through the window bars bore at men's eyes... The strongest oaths are straw to the fire in the blood. Be more abstemious or else... Oh, Lenina!
Oh, darling. Darling, put your arms around me. Hug me till you drug me, honey. Kiss me. Kiss me till I'm in a coma. Hug me. Hug me, snuggly. Oh. 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 You're hurting me. John!
Ho!
John, what is it?
Ho! Impudent strumpet!
Oh, don't, John! Please!
Damn that ho!
Soma! 10 cubic centimeters! Cures! 10!
Go! Get out of my sight or I will kill you!
No, please! Don't! Don't lock me in! Oh,
get in there, ho! The wren goes to it. And the small gilded fly does lecture in my sight. The fichu nor the soiled horse goes to it with a more riotous appetite. Down from the waist they are centers, the women all above. But to the waist do the gods inherit. Beneath is all the fiends. Do you hear me, strumpet? Impudent strumpet!
John, I'm terrified. Please. Please put them through the ventilator over the door.
Impudent strumpet! The devil luxury with his fat rump and potato finger.
Oh, John.
Fat rump and potato finger.
No.
What is it?
John, don't forget my contraceptive belt.
Hello? Yes. What? Who's ill? Linda. Well, of course it interests me. She's my mother. Where's she been taken? What? Park Lane Hospital for the Dying. Oh, my God!
John! John!
Yes, can see, we have all the modern conveniences. Television at the foot of each bed, a constant companion, you might say. And we change the prevailing room perfume in our galloping senility wards every quarter of an hour. We do try to create a thoroughly pleasant atmosphere. Something between a first-class hotel and a Feely Palace, if you take my
Where name. Is she? She's my mother.
Mr. Savage, we have 20 beds all occupied, so you're... So Linda is dying in company with every modern convenience. I think she's watching the South American Tennis Championships at present. It's the semi-finals. Well, Mr. Savage, I'll leave you to it. I must go. I've got a batch of children coming for death conditioning. Make yourself comfortable. It's a very exciting match.
Linda. Linda. Linda.
John?
Mother. Oh, dearest mother. Don't you remember? Melpais, when you used to sing to me, you sang so beautifully. And when you taught me to read, you remember the tots on the pot, the cats on the mat, elementary instructions for beta workers in the embryo store. Do you remember? And those stories you told me about the other place outside the reservation. That beautiful, beautiful other place. Mother, please try. Try to remember.
Oh, look! Look at this one!
Whatever is the matter with her?
Yes, why is she so fat?
It's awful! Look at her teeth!
Let's see. Let me have a look.
Get away!
Doing to that boy. I won't have you striking the children.
Well, keep them away from this bed then. What are these filthy little brats doing here at all? It's disgraceful.
Disgraceful? What on earth do you mean? They are being death conditioned. If I have any more of your interference with their conditioning, I'll send for the porters and have you thrown out.
This is my mother.
Mr. Savage, there are children here.
Keep them away.
Yes. Well, I have warned you. So mind. Now, come along, children. Let's play a game of Hunt the Zipper. Oh,
Linda. Linda.
Hug me till you drug me, honey. Kiss me till I'm in a coma.
Linda.
Poor babe. Poor babe. I do so like it.
Linda, don't you know me?
Oh, Poppy, darling, darling, Poppy.
But I'm John. I'm John, I'm your son, John. Do you hear me? John, John, John!
John? John? Everyone belongs to everyone.
What's wrong? What is it, Linda? What is it? Oh, my God. Quick! Quick! You've got to help me! Quick!
Mr. Savage, don't shout!
Come quickly, something's happened.
He's crying!
Think of the children, please. You might decondition. Mr. Savage, what are you doing?
You've got to come! Something's happened.
I have killed her. Linda's dead. I've killed my mother.
Mr. Savage, this is outrageous. Think of the mischief you're doing to these innocent children. You're undoing all their death conditioning with this disgusting behavior, really. As if anyone mattered that much.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. What have I done? Oh, God, God, God.
For Ford's sake, Mr. Savage, pull yourself together. Can't you behave?
Llena eres de gracia.
El
Señor es contigo.
Who wants a chocolate eclair?
Bendita seas entre todas las mujeres. Y bendito el fruto de tu vientre, Jesús. Santa María, Madre de Dios. Ruega por nosotros los pecadores,
ora y en la hora de nuestra muerte. Amen.
Well, he's not in his rooms. Where can he have got to?
Oh, I've no idea. It's a bit annoying. I thought we might all nip across to Biarritz, have a spot of dinner.
Oh, and your new sporty copter?
Yes. Yeah, we'll be late if he doesn't come soon. Look, we'll give him 5 more minutes. If he doesn't turn up by then, we'll just have to... Hello, Helmholtz speaking. Lord almighty!
What is it?
Wait. Yes? Yes. Oh, Ford. I don't believe it.
Helmholtz?
Of course. Yes. No, I'll come at once.
What is it?
That was a fellow I know at the Park Lane Hospital. John's there.
What?
He seems to have gone mad. He's had some sort of brainstorm in the hospital foyer. They're giving out the day's Soma rations to the Deltas, and he's trying to incite them to riot. Bernard, this is urgent.
No shoving, please. No shoving. I shall stop the distribution unless I have good behaviour.
Don't listen to him. Don't take that horrible stuff. It's poison. It's poison. Oh, brave new world. How many goodly creatures are there here? How beauteous mankind is!
Look, let me get on with my distribution, won't you? Now, there's a good fellow. Just let
no!
Me...
Ow! Listen! Listen, I beg you. Lend me your ears. Throw it all away, that horrible poison. Poison to the soul as well as the body. Throw it away. I come to bring you freedom! Bernard! Helmholtz! Come with me! Yes, my friends, I come to bring you freedom. Do you like being slaves? Do you like being babies? Yes, babies, mewling and puking. Yes, puking. Don't you want to be free and men? Don't you even understand what manhood and freedom are? Come up here with me, Bernard.
He's mad. He's gone quite mad.
I'll teach you. I'll make you free whether you want to or not.
Oh, Ford! He's throwing the Soma boxes out of the window! They'll kill him! Ford, help him!
No. Bernard, we've got to. Come on.
What? Helmholtz, you'll be killed!
Freedom! Freedom! Come with me!
I'm here, John. John, I'm here!
It's the police.
Help! Help! They'll be killed if you don't hurry!
My friends, what is the meaning of this? Why aren't you all being happy and good together? Happy and good, at peace, oh, I do want you to be happy. I do so want you to be good. Please be good, my dearest friends, and Ford keep you. Ford, bless you and keep you.
Ford, bless you and keep you.
Well, Mr. Savage,
Ford, bless you
will you
and
come
keep
quietly?
You.
Or must we anaesthetize?
Ford, bless you and keep you.
Oh.
Ford,
I'll come
bless
quietly.
You and keep you.
So, Mr. Savage, you don't much like civilization?
No, I don't.
John!
Of course, there are some very nice things. All that music in the air, for instance.
Sometimes 1,000 twangling instruments will hum about mine ears, and sometimes
have
voices...
Have you read Shakespeare, too? I thought nobody knew about that.
Almost nobody. It's prohibited, you see, but as I make the laws here, I can also break them. With impunity, Mr. Marks, which I'm afraid you can't do.
Yes, but why is it prohibited?
Because it's old. That's the chief reason. We haven't any use for old things here.
Even when they're beautiful?
Particularly when they're beautiful. Beauty is attractive, and we don't want people to be attracted by old things. We want them to like the new ones. The world is stable now. People are happy. They get what they want, and they never want what they can't get. They're so conditioned that they practically can't help behaving as they ought to behave. And if anything should go wrong, there's Soma. Which you go and chuck out of the window in the name of liberty, Mr. Savage. Liberty. Expecting Deltas to know what liberty is.
Well, take those feelies, for instance. They're so stupid and horrible.
They don't mean anything. Not like Othello.
They mean themselves. They mean a lot of agreeable sensations to the audience.
But they're stupid. They're told by an idiot.
Well, you're not being very polite to our friend Helmholtz here, one of our most distinguished emotional engineers.
No, John's right. It is idiotic. Writing when there's nothing to say.
Precisely. But that requires the most enormous ingenuity. Works of art out of practically nothing but pure sensation.
It all seems to me quite horrible.
Of course it does. But that's the price we have to pay for stability. Being contented has none of the glamour of a good fight against misfortune, none of the picturesqueness of a struggle with temptation or a fatal overthrow by passion or doubt. Happiness is never grand, Mr. Savage.
I suppose not. But need it be as bad as those twins? Horrible.
Ah, I see you don't like our Bokanovsky groups. Well, I assure you, they're the foundation on which everything else is built.
Frankly, I was wondering why I have them at all. Those deltas and epsilons. Seeing that you can get whatever you want out of those bottles, why don't you make everybody an alpha while you're about it?
Because we have no wish to have our throats cut. A society of alphas couldn't fail to be unstable and miserable. It's an absurdity. An alpha-decanted, alpha-conditioned man would go mad if he had to do epsilon semi-moron work. Go mad. Or start smashing things up. Alphas can be completely socialized, but only on condition that you make them do alpha work. Isn't that so, Mr. Marx?
Yes, sir.
The optimum population, you see, is modeled on the iceberg. 8/9 below the waterline, 1/9 above.
And they're happy below the waterline?
Happier than above it. Happier than your friends here, for example.
In spite of all that awful work?
Awful? They don't find it so. On the contrary, they like it. No strain on the mind or the muscles. 7.5 hours of mild, unexhausting labor. And then the soma ration and games and unrestricted copulation and the feelies. What more can they ask for? True, they might ask for shorter hours. The inventions office is stuffed with plans for labor-saving processes, thousands of them. But we don't want to change. Every change is a menace to stability. Every discovery is potentially subversive. Even science must sometimes be treated as a possible enemy.
What? But we're always saying that science is everything. It's a hypnopedic platitude.
And all the science propaganda we do at college.
Yes, but what sort of science? Our science is just a cookery book with a list of recipes that mustn't be added to except by special permission from the head cook. Well, I'm the head cook now. But I was an inquisitive young scullion once. I started doing a bit of cooking on my own. Unorthodox cooking. Illicit cooking. A bit of real science, in fact.
What happened?
Very nearly what's going to happen to you young men. I was on the point of being sent to an island.
You can't send me. I haven't done nothing. Oh, please, don't send me to Iceland. Give me another chance. Please, please give me another chance. Oh, please, your fortune, please. Not to Iceland.
Yes, Controller?
Bring 3 men and take Mr. Marx into a bedroom, give him a good soma vaporization, and then put him to bed and leave him.
No, please, not Iceland, no. No, you can't, it's not fair.
One would think he was going to have his throat cut. Whereas, if he had the slightest sense, he'd understand that his punishment is really a reward. He's being sent to an island. That's to say, he's being sent to a place where he'll meet the most interesting set of men and women to be found anywhere in the world. I almost envy you, Mr. Helmholtz.
Then why aren't you on an island yourself?
Well, because, finally, I chose this. And let the science go. And sometimes I rather regret the science. Happiness is a hard master, particularly other people's happiness. But it's universal happiness that keeps the wheels steadily turning. Truth and beauty can't. People used to talk about truth and beauty as though they were the sovereign goods, right up to the time of the 9 Years' War. That made them change their tune. Yes. After the 9 Years' War, people were ready to have even their appetites controlled. Anything for a quiet life. And we've gone on controlling ever since. It hasn't been very good for truth, of course. But one can't have something for nothing. Happiness has got to be paid for, and that's how I paid. By the way, Helmholtz, would you like a tropical climate? The Marquesas, for example, or Samoa, or something rather more bracing.
No, no, I should like a thoroughly bad climate. I believe one would write better if the climate were bad, if there were a lot of wind and storms, for example.
I like your spirit, Helmholtz. I like it very much indeed. What about the Falkland Islands?
Yes. Yes, I think that will do.
Good. Now, if you don't mind, perhaps you would run along and see how poor Mr. Marx is getting on.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
So, art, science, you seem to have paid a fairly high price for your happiness. Anything else?
Well, religion, of course. There used to be something called God before the 9 Years' War. But I was forgetting. You know all about God, I suppose. Let me show you something. Yes. It's a subject that has always had a great interest for me. You've never read this, for example.
The Holy Bible, containing the Old and New Testaments.
Nor this.
The Imitation of Christ.
Nor this.
The Varieties of Religious Experience by William James.
And I've got plenty more. A whole collection of pornographical books.
But if you know about God, why don't you tell them? Why don't you give them these books about God?
Because they're old. They're about God, hundreds of years ago, not about God now.
But God doesn't change.
Men do, though. Take this book, for example, by a philosopher, if you know what that was.
Yes, a man who dreams of fewer things than there are in heaven and earth.
Quite so. I'll read you one of the things he did dream of. They say that it is the fear of death and of what comes after death that makes men turn to religion as they advance in years. But my own experience has given me the conviction that we turn to God because we feel the need to lean on something that abides, something that will never play us false, a reality, an absolute and everlasting truth. Yes, we inevitably turn to God, for this religious sentiment is of its nature so pure, so delightful to the soul that experiences it, that it makes up to us for all our other losses. Well, my dear friend, one of the numerous things in heaven and earth that these philosophers didn't dream about was this. Us. The modern world. The religious sentiment will compensate us for all our losses. But there aren't any losses for us to compensate. And what need have we of consolation when we have Soma?
Then you think there is no God?
No, I think there probably is one. But God isn't compatible with machinery and scientific medicine and universal happiness. That's why I have to keep these books locked up in the safe. People would be shocked
but
if...
isn't it natural to feel there is a God?
Natural? My dear sir, one believes things because one has been conditioned to believe them.
All the same, it is natural to believe in God. When you're alone, quite alone in the night, thinking about death.
But people are never alone now. We make them hate solitude, and we arrange their lives so that it's almost impossible for them ever to have it.
Do you remember that bit in King Lear? The gods are just, and of our pleasant vices make instruments to play thus. Doesn't there seem to be a god managing these things, punishing, rewarding?
Well, does there? Providence takes its cue from man.
Are you sure? The gods are just. Haven't they used his pleasant vices as an instrument to degrade him?
Degrade him? From what? As a happy, hard-working, goods-consuming citizen, he's perfect.
But if you allowed yourself to think of God, you'd have a reason for bearing things patiently, for doing things with courage.
But there isn't any need for a civilized man to bear anything that's seriously unpleasant. And as for doing things, Ford forbid that he should get the idea into his head. It would upset the entire social order.
What about self-denial, then?
Industrial civilization is only possible when there's no self-denial. Self-indulgence up to the very limits imposed by hygiene and economics, otherwise the wheels stop turning.
You'd have a reason for chastity.
Chastity means passion. Chastity means neurasthenia. And passion and neurasthenia mean instability, and instability means the end of civilization.
But God's the reason for everything fine and noble and heroic. If you had a God...
My dear young friend, civilization has absolutely no need of nobility or heroism. Whether a wars, whether a temptations to be resisted, objects of love to be fought for or defended, there, obviously, nobility and heroism have some sense. But there aren't any wars nowadays, and the greatest care is taken to prevent you from loving anyone too much. There really aren't any temptations to resist, either. And if ever, by some unlucky chance, anything unpleasant should happen, why, there's always Soma to give you a holiday from the facts, to reconcile you to your enemies, to make you patient and long-suffering. Anybody can be virtuous now. You can carry at least half your morality about in a bottle. Christianity without tears. That's what Soma is.
What you need is something with tears for a change. Nothing costs enough here.
We prefer to do things comfortably.
But I don't want comfort. I want God. I want poetry, I want danger, I want freedom, I want goodness, I want sin!
In fact, you're claiming the right to be unhappy!
Yes! I'm claiming the right to be unhappy!
Not to mention the right to grow old and ugly and impotent, the right to have syphilis and cancer, the right to have too little to eat, the right to be lousy, the right to live in constant apprehension of what may happen tomorrow, the right to catch typhoid, the right to be tortured by unspeakable pains of every kind!
I claim them all.
Attention, attention. The 1227 flight for Falklands Port Stanley, calling at Ascension, is now preparing for takeoff. Will all passengers for the 1227 Port Stanley flight please make their way to the heliport lounge on level 6.
Well, I suppose this is goodbye. Yes. Yes, I suppose it is. You know the Savage went to see the controller again?
Oh, what for?
To ask if he mightn't go to an island with us.
Really? And what did the controller say?
He wouldn't let him. He said he wanted to go on with the experiment.
Oh, so John's still in London?
No, he's gone.
Where?
I've no idea. Disappeared. He bought a few things before leaving, though. Rope, string, nails, matches. Oh, yes, some pots and pans, 2 dozen packets of seeds, and 10 kilograms of wheat flour.
I don't believe it. What on earth can he be doing?
Hug me till you drag me, honey. Kiss me till I'm in a coma. Hug me, honey, snuggly bunny. Love's as good as Soma.
Hello?
Lenina, quickly, switch on the radio.
Fanny, I'm having Henry Forster. He'll be here any moment.
Do as I say, Lenina. Switch it on now.
Oh, if you insist.
At an old air lighthouse midway between Putnam and Elstead, where 3 Delta Minus land workers witnessed a truly astonishing spectacle. A young man was standing outside the abandoned lighthouse, stripped to the waist and hitting himself with a whip of knotted cords. A special report now from Primo Mellon.
His back was streaked with blood.
Streaked with blood.
We pulled up at the side of the road, and we just stared.
Just stared.
We counted the strokes. After the 8th, he ran to the edge of the wood, and he was very sick.
Very sick.
When it finished, he picked up the whip and began hitting himself again.
9, 10, 11, 12.
Well, that was the extraordinary sight witnessed by those three land workers. And I'm coming to you live now from the old lighthouse at Elstead. Just a few words, Mr. Savage. Just tell our listeners why you came here. What made you leave London so very suddenly? And that whip. We're all crazy to know about that whip. Something about civilization? What I think of the civilized girl. Just a few words. A very few.
Strumpet! Strumpet! Impudent strumpet! Oh, God forgive me. I'm mad! I'm wicked!
Oh, John.
Strumpet!
Lenina, why didn't you answer the door?
Oh, Henry. Henry, it's the savage. It's terrible. It's because of me, Henry. You've got to take me to him.
Well, of course. We're all going. Absolutely everyone. It's better than Ophelia, that whip and everything.
Oh.
It's almost as good as the sperm whale's love life. Oh. By Ford, that says
something. Henry, please.
Lenina, calm down. Have half a gram. Oh.
Go away! Leave me alone!
What about the whip?
Yes. Go away, do you hear? By God, I'll give you the whip! Why don't you leave me alone? What do you want with me? What is it you want?
We want the whip! We want the whip! We want the whip!
John! John! Oh, this is terrible. We've got to save him, Henry. Henry! Stop this! Stop this at once! John! John, it's me, Lenina! John!
Fitch you! Damned whore!
John, darling!
Stop it! Fry, lechery, fry! The flesh! Kill it! Kill it! Kill it!
Oh, John, please no! Please no!
I'll kill you!
The great fog, who made the whole world out of fog. For earth, mother, and sky, father. For Ayuta and Marcelima. For Jesus and Pukong. I must hurry. Hurry before the sun rises. Fasten the rope. For Our Lady of Arkoma. For the great eagle. I must hurry. The window. Yes. The window for the sun. For the rising sun. For the first rays. Yes. Must hurry now. Must hurry. For the sun. Eyes. Look your last.
Where is he now?
Well, he must have come back here, to the lighthouse.
Savage!
Mr. Savage! I don't think it's locked, sir. Mr. Savage?
Savage! Where are you?
Oh, Ford! Oh, Ford Almighty!
Thank you.
Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. Gary Cady was the Savage. Jack Claff was Mustafa Mond. Moya Leslie was Lenina Crown. Jonathan Taffler was Bernard Marks. And Francis de la Tour was Linda. Sean Pertwee was Helmholtz Watson. Hugh Dixon was the director of Hatcheries. Nigel Carrington was Henry Forster. Jane Wittenshaw was Fanny Crown. Susan Sheridan was the president of Worship. Andrew Wincott was Benito Hoover. Petra Markham was the headmistress of Eton. Timothy Carlton was the arch songster of Canterbury. Mark Straker was Primo Mellon. Joanna Myers was the nurse. Richard Pierce was the boy. And Walter Acosta was the Spanish guide. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Brave New World was dramatized from Aldous Huxley's novel by Stephen Mulryan. The music was composed and performed by Wilfredo Acosta. Technical presentation was by Roger Daines, Wilfredo Acosta, and Keith Graham. The director was Marilyn Imrie.